The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' For his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. To you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If my words are, my speech this morning is a little bit blocky or hard to follow, I apologize. I had a message planned, and then as life unfolds, how you think about God's Word, how you pray about God's Word changes. And since today's gospel lesson is about testifying to the light of Christ, I'll share with you a personal experience from my own life over these past few weeks from Christmas on. I start first with going back to, late childhood as a teenager in grade 12. And I was accepted for a Junior Rhodes Scholarship. And what this means is they take students from Africa, from North America, from Latin America, and they send them to Europe. If you're university age, you do full university studies. If you're high school age, they give you a summertime, about 2.5 months, to travel throughout Europe, going to libraries and colleges and lectures and parliaments and visiting senior Rhodes scholars and seeing if that's something you want to continue with in your studies. And so I was accepted for this Rhodes Scholarship in November, and I was slated to leave the first part of June. And so I started studying about Europe, all the countries I'd be going to, England, France, Germany, some of the Baltic states, Czechoslovakia, Ukraine, all these areas. And I read books about them, travel guides about them, went to the library, there was no YouTube back then, went to the library and got VHS tapes about them, read travel guides, all these things. So I would know Europe instinctively. So when I went there, I'd know what places I wanted to go to, how things functioned there, what life was like in Europe. And then I got to Europe, and it was nothing like I had read. Paris was not that beautiful. In fact, it kind of smelt like a urinal. Germany really surprised me. The area of the Rhine, the vineyards, the workers, the industrious working people, they took like 3-hour lunch breaks. That surprised me. The fact that they loved horrible disco music, I never realized. There are tons of things about Europe that you actually had to set foot there to hear the sounds and to smell the region, to know what the locals thought and did, how they spent their time, what things occupied their thoughts that just weren't found in travel manuals, books, or VHS cassettes. And so I came to the conclusion that as people, we can know of something. We can know people. People we read about in books or magazines, people we see on television, but we may not really know them. We might not really know what makes them tick. We might not really know if they're moody or not. We might not really know what their true favorite things are. We might not really know their work ethic. We just kind of know what they put forward. Even us who gather here today, we know of each other. But my wife knows me much better than you. Your spouse, your children, your neighbor, your sister, your brother, whatever it may be, knows you better than I know you. Because of proximity, because of time spent together, because of a shared history, hopes, dreams, fears, all these things. We can know of things, but not always know deeply things. This brings me to the last few days. It started the morning of Christmas Eve. Definitely a busy time in the Gottinger household. Lots going on, lots of things to prepare for, excitement about church and all that entails. And about 7 a.m., my eldest daughter Carmela started feeling quite horrible, quite a bit of stomach pains and everything else, and she started complaining and retching herself on the couch. So we gave her the treatment that every good parent does. We told her to go to the bathroom. That solved nothing. And so then about by 10 a.m., she's screaming in agony. So I take her to the hospital, the emergency room, on Christmas Eve at 10 a.m., and I thought, oh no, like we're going to be here for time and eternity. Fortunately, the hospital staff is great. They recognized that we weren't just there with a sniffle, that my daughter had some serious problems. Quickly, tests start flying. Ultrasounds, x-rays, surgeon comes, and all these things happen. And they start throwing out lots of kind of, you know, bad case scenarios, what this could be. Appendicitis, stomach blockage, gallbladder, you name it, all sorts of stuff. But at the end of the day, they said, just go home. Maybe this will get better on its own. She didn't have a fever or anything like that, so go home, let's just see what happens. Maybe she's just excited about Christmas. And she was excited about Christmas. She wanted to come to church and sing and do all these things, but she felt horrible. So she got her Christmas Eve dress on. I'm going somewhere, don't worry. She got her Christmas Eve dress on and she sang, made me so proud. I cried a little bit during church service, but okay. The second service came for Christmas Eve. She sung, she went to my office, she lied down, felt horrible. But of course, Santa was coming on Christmas Eve, so we couldn't go to the hospital that night. She grinned and bared it. Santa came, we opened presents, and found ourselves in the hospital on Christmas Day. All right. Well, let's just see how this plays. Sent her home. 3 days later, on New Year's Day, find ourselves back in the hospital. This time, they admit Carmela. They said, like, we got to do more work. You've got too much pain. We need to give you morphine. This is great, a 10-year-old kid. So Laurie and I take turns sleeping at her bedside. Nurses, doctors, everyone's great. It looks like this is probably swollen lymph nodes or whatever and some stomach problems, but who knows for sure? No one seems to know. And in between all of this, her little sister Olivia is kind of being shuffled around. Some great people have spent some time with her. Caring friends have looked after her. Laura Lee and I have picked her up, taken her to the hospital. But she's 4 years old. And so we probably haven't talked to her enough about what's going on. She sees her sister in a hospital bed. She sees an IV hooked up. She sees her sister crying in pain. And, you know, she's processing this in her own way as a four-year-old processes this. And, you know, as a parent, we say, well, Carmela's always a positive spin on things. Carmela's going to get better. Don't worry about Olivia, et cetera, et cetera. But clearly, her little sister is quite worried about the fate of her big sister as her parents as well. And then this past Friday, I taken Olivia home from the hospital, and we went home to make lunch and bring some things back for Laura Lee and Carmela. And so I made some grilled cheese sandwiches and tomato soup for Olivia and I to have. And so we're sitting at the kitchen table. Olivia and I are about to eat lunch, and I say to Olivia, we should pray. So Olivia looks at me, okay, so we pray, come Lord Jesus, be our God. Okay. Get to the amen, I get ready to eat, and Olivia's staring at me like I grow in a second head. And she looks at me and says, what about Carmela? And then it kind of dawned on me, she wants to pray for Carmela. So I said, well, okay, Olivia, let's pray for Carmela. What should we pray for? And she kind of looked at me. That's a good question. So she said, that she gets better. I said, okay, we'll pray that she gets better. What else should we pray for? And she kind of looked at me for a while, and she said, so that she can come home. And I said, okay, that's what we'll pray for. She comes home. What else are we praying for, Olivia? Then she said, we should pray for her dollies as well, because they're sad. So I said, okay, let's do this. So I said, Olivia, do you want to pray? Olivia said, yeah. And so she prayed for her sister, she prayed for her coming home, and she prayed for her dollies, and then we had lunch. And then I got pretty emotional and had to excuse myself for a bit because, anyways, getting to where I'm going. How's our relationship with God? Do we know of God, or do we know God? And the two things are very different. Just like when I visited Europe, we can know of Europe. Where cities are, we can know geography, what language is spoken, but do we really know it till we step foot? I would say no. What about God? I think our relationship with God is the same way. Do we know God or do we know of God? Is God a concept? Is God something found in the Bible? Is God something for someone else? Is God something we want to be closer to? Is God something that we want to distance ourselves from? Or is God truly something that we know? My four-year-old daughter, God's something that she knows. There's a problem. She wants to connect with God. For us, do we know God? What is our relationship? This isn't meant to be condescending. I'm just curious as people, what is our relationship with God? Because there are two drastically different things. We can study the Bible. We can have the right pictures on our wall. We can listen to the right music. We can do all these things. And we can know of God. We can know the story of the Hebrews. We can know all the names of the 12 apostles. We can tell you about the ministry of St. Paul. We can tell you what time church starts. But do we know God? Is God real for us? This is the power of the Christmas story. And I think today, in the first words of John, we have the true meaning of Christmas. That whole Christmas Eve thing about shepherds and angels, about a baby in a manger, that's the how of Christmas. That's the mechanics of Christmas. We can know that in terms of history. We can know that in terms of trivia. But today, talking about the light of God, talking about true God from true God, talking about the Word made flesh, talking about the light coming into the world to reveal us as who we are, to live with us, to be rejected by us, to claim us and to save us. This is the why of Christmas. This, as Christians, is what we cling to. This is the good news of the gospel. This is where we find God with us. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. You see, God wants this relationship with us. God doesn't want to be simply a distant God. God doesn't want to be seen as simply the watchmaker God who forms this world together like a watchmaker and throws it in the box and walks away. God wants to be in our lives. God has come to be us so that we can someday be like Him. And this is the good news of the Christmas story. God doesn't want to just be known. God wants to be experienced. God wants to be in relationship. And see, that's the difference between knowing of and actually knowing. How do we experience God? This really is kind of the heart of who we are as people. Who is Jesus for us? Is it simply a historical figure? Is He simply a wise teacher? Is He a role model? Is He something that we aspire to? Something we talk about? Something that we simply pull out of our pocket like an insurance card during bad times? Or is Christ someone who is intimately involved in our lives? This is the light of God. And once you start experiencing God, once you start knowing God, and once you take seriously the idea that God is the light of the world, you start seeing God everywhere. I find God in the prayers of my children. I find the light of Christ defeating darkness in my relationships, in my neighborhood, in church, in my family, in the newspapers, in books. Because wherever darkness is defeated, wherever sadness is in some small way overcome, wherever people are let free from captivity, wherever that may be, that is the light of Christ. And the more that I experience the light, the more that I experience God. And the more that I experience God, the more that I know God. Not just of God, not just the God of history, the God of the Hebrews, the God that parts the Red Sea, but God involved in my life. And I wonder if that's true for others. If we take seriously that Christ is light that shines into the darkness, then we can name for ourselves what darkness is. Fear, anxiety, sadness, depression, exclusion, poverty, loneliness. The list can go on and on and on. But where we see areas that we are able to break out of that bondage, things that hold us down, things that cause us to lose sleep at night, the things that make us feel less than worthy, less than whole, less than good. When we find how light shines into that, whether it's in the smile of a friend, the encouragement of someone else, the prayers of a family member, however that light may come into our lives, that is God. And that's what John testified to, and that's what we're called to testify to. We're called to say to the world, look, there's God. We've joined ourselves to God because God has joined Himself to us. The Word has become flesh. The Word has lived as us. And the world has thrown its worst. As we go through the next year, and throughout the next year we will go through the Bible, we will see what the world throws at the Word. Or maybe better put, how the darkness tries to defeat the light. And we see that in the ministry of Christ. He is excluded. He is ridiculed. People doubt Him. He is tortured. He is arrested. He is poor. He is laughed at. He is mocked. He is abandoned. It will go on and on and on. And the darkness never overcomes the light. Christ never casts aside His love, His forgiveness, His grace, His joy in living, or His ministry, or His purpose. Because the light is not defeated by the darkness. This single candle cannot be put out by all the darkness in the world. We can turn off the lights in the church, the sun can go away, we can have an equinox with no moon, you name it, that candle will still overpower the darkness. And the same is true in our lives. The light will not be defeated. Unless we allow it. Unless we snuff out the light in our own lives. Unless we fail to look for it. Fail to light it. Fail to tend to it. And the darkness seems to overcome. Look at the words of John in today's gospel reading. It says, the light has come into the world and He was rejected by His own people. This is not new. We will see also in the ministry of Christ in this coming year, the Pharisees will gather and they will reject Him. Common people will gather and they will reject Him. Political leaders will gather and they will reject Him. And finally, as they yell, crucify Him on Good Friday, the world will reject Him. But the light is not defeated. And the same is true for us. When we feel that the world is standing against us, when the gates of Hades is open, when the darkness is coming in, we know in the ministry of Christ, true light from true light, true God from true God, the Word made flesh, that we will be victorious. And we know that the light is coming into our lives. Let's look for it. Look for those who are encouraging you. Look for those who are praying for you. Look for those who are supporting you. Look for those who are helping you. Look for those who have joined with you in friendship. And when you look for those, you will find the light. And the more light you find, the less darkness there will be. And that's how I experience life. That's the Christmas story for me. Darkness being defeated. You guys are light for me. Your prayers and your support and your encouragement and your help, a light for me. And trust me, ministry can offer much darkness as well as much light. There's many failures. There's many disappointments. There's many things that don't get done or they should get done. There's many things that happen that seem, wow. But I don't focus on that. I focus on light. I focus on where faith is. I focus on where love is. I focus on where hope is. I focus on where the light is. And when I focus on that, the darkness has a tendency to vanish. We have everything we need. We have each other. We have the gospel. We've been given the end story. It is our job to testify to it, to claim it, to use it, to rejoice in it. We all have areas of our lives, both privately, professionally, and publicly, that we know the darkness is attacking. Things that we know about ourselves, things that we feel about ourselves, things that cause us to worry, things that cause us to feel less than good, unhappy, cause us anxiety, anxiousness, despair, depression, worry, whatever that may be. That's darkness. But we also have light in our lives. We have love and support and prayer and guidance and friendship and family and all of these things. And the darkness will not defeat them. Our calling is to build up the light, to foster the light, to spread the light, to reflect the light, to be the light in the world, so darkness does not overcome. This is good news. And we can do it. If a 4-year-old girl can do it to me, then you can do it to someone else. And they can do it to someone else. And the more light we have, the less darkness we will experience. Amen.